I heard a story the other day that a woman told, and she was walking in town, going to work, and downtown in this community, there was a man sitting there with a sign that said, "I am blind, please help me." And she noticed that people walked by, they just kept walking by and almost didn't even notice him. And she noticed that, and so she looked at the guy and she took his sign. She turned it over and she wrote something on the sign, gave it back to the man. And then she stood off to the side a little bit and then started watching. And all of a sudden, you know, one person would come in and they'd put some money there, and another person would come. And, you know, all of a sudden, all of this was happening. She came back a little bit later, and the guy was just kind of amazed, because it's like he had all of this people who responded. And she was talking to him and asking how he's doing. And he said, "I don't know what happened." He said, "You know, I was here and somebody took my sign and then gave it back to me, and all of a sudden people started responding." And she said, "Well, I was the one that took your sign." He said, I turned it over and I wrote something different on the back of your sign." She said, "Well, actually, I just wrote what you wrote, but I just said it in different ways." What she wrote on the sign was, "It's a beautiful day and I can't see it." In that little vignette, this lady was inviting herself, to begin with, and all the other people, to see with different eyes. And all of a sudden, people did see with different eyes, and they responded. I think so often, What Jesus keeps inviting us to do is to see with different eyes. And probably no more so than on a day that we call the Feast of Jesus Christ the King. And, you know, the truth is, We're attracted to kings. You know, we get all excited about remember we got excited when Prince Charles was going to marry Diana and all the crazy stuff that went on, and when William got married, and I was like, "Oh God, everybody's watching," and you know, we all got excited about that. We get excited about that kind of world of power and prestige. It's like we like Downton Abbey, you know, and kings and all of that is like Downton Abbey on steroids, you know. We're attracted to that. We really are, all over the place. We're attracted to positions and power and titles. You know, I mean, even in the church, we get attracted to all kinds of titles. There's a prayer one time, it's like, "So we can give praise to your immense majesty." Give praise to your immense majesty. Now, who in the world talks like that, you know? Or, just, you know, this is just another example. So I get sent out the invitations for our new bishop when he's going to be installed. I got this notice, this invitation, and I was reading it. It had more "Your Excellencies" and then it had titles. It had titles all over the place. The Very Reverend the most reverend, the reverend. I was expecting another title, which was the not very reverent at all. And the rest of you poor slobs who don't have a title, you know? And it's like, you know, nobody was doing this with malice, you know? It's like, why do we call somebody your excellency and your majesty? It's because we like that stuff. We get enthralled by that. And yet, what Jesus does is he says, you know, I want you to look at this with different eyes. Now, you know, in the early Christian community, for the early Christians to go around and proclaim Jesus Christ as King, this was daunting stuff. This was poking your finger in the eye of the authorities, you know? Because in the Roman times, the Romans really didn't care what god you had. You could have any kind of god. You could have many gods. They didn't care. You know, just have whatever gods you want to have. Just as long as you recognize the Roman emperor as the king. Just as long as you do that, you acknowledge that, and you can do anything you want. And the early Christian community comes along and they says, we have one king, and that's Jesus Christ. You know, now that stuff in that time was enough to get put you to death. Now, now we talk about Jesus Christ the King. Nobody cares. Nobody's going to do anything to you if you say we proclaim Christ the King. In fact, for us now, we have to almost do the opposite. And we have to see this with different eyes. You know, we have to look at power and prestige and wealth and position. We have to look at that with different eyes. You know, I remember when Francis was elected Pope, and, you know, everybody knew this was going to be different just from the moment that he comes out on the balcony out there in St. Peter's, and all of a sudden he's doing something. The first thing he's doing different is he ain't wearing all these ancient and fancy robes. That bothered some people, you know? And then it bothered him because, remember he said, now before we begin, I'm going to invite you just to pray for me. Well, that about did some people in too, because popes don't ask ordinary people to pray for them. I don't know why, but we somehow think that, you know, we're not worthy enough to pray for the Pope. But that's what he did. And then, lo and behold, he decided, I need people around. I need a community. And so he decided to take two rooms in the guest quarters that they have built in the Vatican. And he decided to live there rather than in the apostolic palace. First time that popes didn't live in the apostolic palace, you know? But you know, one of the other things they did, remember a couple of years ago when he came to the United States? If you ever seen all these images in the news when some dignitary or some leader of a country driving around, if you were in Washington, D.C., you'd hate it because it disrupts all the traffic patterns. But you know, anytime they move them around, got to start out and they have to have about 15 motorcycles, they're the first in line, and then you got a whole bunch of police cars, you know, and then you got these great big black SUVs, you know, driving around there, and then usually what they have is a great big Cadillac or some fancy car that the dignitary or the leader is driving in. So when Francis came, you know, it's like, ah, so they had out all these big cars and fancy stuff, and here comes Francis in that little black Fiat. It's like, wow, what's this, you know? And it was so out of place. And everybody noticed. Everybody noticed, you know. You know, he went and gave that talk to a joint session of Congress. And probably afterwards, people went to their fine lunches at the Capitol dining room and places like that. And they would have loved it if Francis would have gone and had lunch with them at these fancy places. Instead, he didn't do that. He went to a local homeless shelter and he had lunch with all of those people. Now, I'm sure that Francis didn't just do that just on the fly. It's very intentional. It's very intentional because what it did was it said, I want to invite you to look at the world and look at how to be in the world with different eyes. And that's what he invites us to do, you know? I say this really with love. But the truth is, we're pretty privileged. We really are, you know. A drive out in our parking lot, or a drive through the neighborhood. We live pretty well. We do. We live pretty well, you know. We always have to step back and say, well, how do we look at things like wealth and power and prestige and honor? It's really interesting. If you get a bunch of kids together, just go get some of your grandkids or some little kids, and you ask them, it's like, well, what do you want to do when you grow up? What kind of house do you want to live in? What do you want to do? And it's amazing, you know, because they'll talk about, like, oh, I want a big house. I want a job where I get lots of money. I get lots and lots of money, you know. Now, nobody has sat down with these kids and says, now remember, you know, the most important thing in life is to make as much money as you can and to get a lot of things and to have a really nice place to live and to have a nice car. You know, nobody says that, but they're getting that message anyway, because we are communicating that by, you know, the choices that we make. And so, really, what we're invited to do is to see our place in life with different eyes. The gospel today really does challenge us to do that. You know, it says, he will assemble all the people together, and then he will say, here's the people that got it. The gospel talks about sheep and goats. I don't know why he picks on goats. I like goats. I don't know why they have to be the brunt of all the terrible things, but why not sheep? Sheep are dumber than goats. But that's an aside. That's an aside. But what he's talking about is, it's like, here's the people who got it. When I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was a stranger, you welcomed me. So really, what we're invited to do is to say, well, how am I to take what I have in life? You know, how am I called to use that to help see the message of Christ with new eyes? You know, we can go back and think about Pope Francis. Francis recognizes that as a pope, he commands He commands a lot of attention because of his position. You know, people want to see him. You know, they're not lining up to see me. They are lining up to see him. This is what he's got. This is in a sense, these are his talents. So how does he use them? And we see in simple ways. It's like, by the choices that I'm making, I'm inviting you to see the world in a different way. No one has asked for my opinion, but I'm going to share it anyway. We're going to install Bishop Siegel a couple of weeks, and they're having all kinds of dinners, all kinds of places. They have a big dinner at the country club. I don't know why we have to have a dinner at the country club, but anyway, we are. Anyway, I always think if he was going to ask my advice for what to do, which he probably isn't, but if he was, I'd say, wouldn't it be wonderful when he went to these dinners, instead of being escorted to the seat of honor and having everybody take care of him, if he instead decided that he was going to let everybody else be seated and that he's going to go around and serve people coffee, serve people drinks, pick up their plates when they're through. Can you imagine that? You know? I got to tell you, if that happened, that news would get around. And they'd say, I think this is a different kind of guy. You know? Now, my point in that, you know, he's not a bad person if he doesn't do that, you know? On the other hand, he may not even be a good person if he does do it, you know? But here's opportunities. Here's opportunities. And so you and I have opportunities. Now, we don't think we're going to have that opportunity. You know, I think about that because people think they don't have any way to influence life. Yeah, we're just, who cares? I'm just here. But you do. You do have opportunities by the choices that we make in our lifestyle, by the choices that we make to choose to do with our time, you know? And the goal, really, believe me, the goal is not, I don't think Jesus wants everybody just to be poor and do without and give everything away. That didn't make any sense at all. But when we have what we have, the question is, how are we going to use that? How are we going to do that? I think again about grandparents. My goodness, grandparents are so much a part of grandkids' lives now. They go to everything. They go to dances and ball games and everything. It's like, God Almighty, the grandparents, you know, they have such an opportunity to impart something to their grandkids. It's like, what are you going to impart? What are you going to do? What are you going to tell them about how to use your time? What are you going to tell them about how to use the resources that you have? What are you going to tell about how you include other people? Those are challenging questions. But I think what we are invited to do today on this Feast of Christ the King is to see this with different eyes. And in seeing it with different eyes, to be the kind of presence that Jesus invites us to be in the gospel. Because clearly, he always had a heart for the poor and the marginalized. Again and again, always, always, always. And so for us, you know, how will we give witness to that? And what will our actions show to others? That's the great challenge that we have today.